Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on what is going to be a very interesting Thursday, March 11th, 2021. 3/11/21. 18 minutes past the hour. Now, as you all know, yesterday we had been dealing with a story here in Marion. What a busy news week, first of all, what we need to say. As many of you know, we have been dealing with a case here in Marion that involved our one of our common pleas judges, Jason Warner, which started mid last year when there was a hit and skip with Judge Warner and his wife, Julia. And there was an indictment, and there was a trial, and the trial came to a conclusion yesterday with the judge being found guilty. And I want to make sure I have this right. Let's see here. We do not want to misrepresent any information here this morning. Convicted. They were convicted, I guess, is the way we should say this. Found guilty. Here it is. On Wednesday, Jason Warner was found guilty of complicity to leaving the scene of an accident and complicity to tampering with evidence. Both are felonies, which means he can no longer serve as a judge here in Marion County. So there you go. And there had been a lot of controversy about this for the last year, pretty much, because the judge had not resigned, and the mayor had called for the judge to resign. Former Sheriff Tim Bailey had called for the judge to resign. There was a protest, I believe, downtown at one point, calling for the judge to resign. And current Sheriff Matt Bales, I believe, called for the judge to resign late last year. And now the judge will have to leave because of the guilty verdict yesterday. And this morning, what I wanted to do, because I wasn't sure how I wanted to handle this, because there's been so much talk about this in the last year, that I want to have people in the community on this morning who have been around this, community leaders, I guess is what I should say, on this morning to just give their reaction, you know, not come on for 45 minutes or anything of that nature, but just come on and give their reaction to what happened yesterday, because it certainly not only was the talk here in Marion, it was the talk in Columbus, it was the talk in a lot of places that this happened. And how could this happen? So we will be joined this morning. We are scheduled to be joined. It's live radio, so we'll see how this all goes, by Marion County Sheriff Matt Bales, Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan, and possibly others. We will see how the morning goes. But we are going to try to leave some time to get your reaction, because the listening audience is always very important to this station and always very important to this show. So we will also leave time for that as the morning goes on. So, very quickly, I want to do this before our guests start to appear on the show here. This morning, after I'm off the air, Glenn Coble will be on 10 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Swap Shop will be on today from 12:10 until 1 p.m., so don't miss any of those shows. Now, before our guests start to join us here, and I'm not going to give an opinion on the Judge Warner thing, I'm going to give my thoughts just simply on what happened yesterday when the verdict came in, because of course, all media outlets reported it as quick as we got it. We reported it. And I was reading some of the comments. And, you know, Glenn Coble and I have had conversations about this. And Police Chief Jay McDonald and I have had conversations about this. We had one yesterday on the air. About the media's role in any kind of a case. Not just this particular one. But This particular one does involve a human being. Yes, he was a judge. He absolutely was. And that's fact. We cannot get away from that. And I think our job in the media is to report the facts, and I think that we've done a good job with that. I think we have reported the facts. And I think even in the verdict yesterday, we did nothing but report the facts. We did not give an opinion at all when we reported the verdict. And we're not going to give an opinion now on the case. But what I want to say is the comments, again, that I saw citizens leave, and it's their right to leave those comments, surprise me, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, I don't... Jason Warner is a human being beyond a judge. And he now will have to face a sentencing on April 15th, I believe is the date. And people make mistakes. They make them. It happens. I don't know anybody who doesn't make mistakes. Now, could we qualify this one as a big mistake? Probably. We could probably qualify this as a big mistake, but he's going to pay for it. He will not be able to be a judge. This was what he spent a lot of time and money in his life, going to school for, building up a reputation, winning an election, to be. And that's gone. It's out the window. And that impacts his family. And his wife certainly is impacted in this, as she has also been charged with things. And I wonder what's going on in that household. Because now they're home, and they just have to wait till April 15th to see what the verdict will be. Or the sentencing, excuse me, see what the sentencing will be. And that's tough. That's very, very tough. And again, I'm not condoning anything that was done. I did not sit in on the trial, so I don't know all the facts. But I can just say that I understand why people are angry. I understand what's going on. I fully get it. But there is a human being here. And at one point, I hope we do get to hear Judge Warner's story. I would really love to hear what his take on this whole matter is, because I think that's important. You know, the trial is over. Now, I don't know where that all goes from here, but that part of this is over. Sentencing comes on April the 15th, and I would love to hear from the judge, which we really have not since May of last year. I would like to hear... I just hope that... And I would have hoped the same thing for the person who was injured in this wreck, because we mustn't forget there was a young kid who was injured in this accident in May last year. And I'm so glad that he seemingly has made a recovery from all the reports that I've read. And I hope that the judge... is I'm sure he's not feeling the greatest today, but I hope that I want everybody to be okay. Now, maybe that's a little Pollyannish of me, but yes, he's been convicted of a crime. Yes, he is a convicted felon now. Yes, he will be sentenced on April the 15th. Those are the facts. But I think we should always have some kind of compassion for our fellow human beings. And the comments I saw yesterday on these posts were not very compassionate. I don't know Judge Warner. If I've ever had a conversation with him, I don't recall it. I don't even recall ever meeting him, to be honest with you. So I have no skin in that game. This is not based on any personal... This is not based on any personal relationship I have with him, because I don't have any relationship with him. But I would feel the same way about anybody. And I also want to say, and I think this is very important to say before we have guests start to join us here, it's also very important to say, in my opinion, that if this was not a judge, this would not have been as big a story. Certainly would not have been covered by the Columbus media. Certainly would not have been on the front page of the trial, covered for 3 days in the Marion Star. It certainly would not be the lead story this morning in the Marion Star. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying that because of this man's position, this is all a little more difficult to deal with. And I don't know that people would have the reaction that they are having, have had in the last 24 hours, if it was not a judge in Marion. That's all I'm saying. I think if it was just, you know, Joe Smith in Marion, the reaction would be different. I'm not saying that the verdict was wrong. The judge yesterday who presided over this case did what she felt was right. And you cannot second guess that. All I'm saying is the treatment that comes after that, and I'm not talking about the sentencing, I'm talking about the treatment in the public circle, which we did not have years ago. We didn't have social media, where somebody could be attacked and attacked and attacked and attacked again. You know, that's a little different. And I always wonder where that comes from. I don't know where that hostility comes from. But you're allowed to have your opinion. This is America. It's free speech. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm giving my thoughts on it. You could call it an opinion, but that's just my thoughts. And that's what we will hear this morning. We will hear the thoughts of other people in this community. And that's important. I think you, the citizen, deserve that. And again, we're going to try to leave time today for you to call in if you want to say anything about this verdict, because heavens knows this has been a long road that got us to where we are this morning with the verdict yesterday. So that is where we are, and we will sit here and see what happens as the morning progresses, and we will talk to some people in the community about this case and go from there. But again, it's an interesting morning. And in the midst of all this, life continues to go on, and more things were happening in the city yesterday. I don't know exactly what is going on, but I believe we heard from Police Chief McDonald yesterday that, you know what, we'll come back to this momentarily because we are having our first call here, and we continue on this morning, and certainly you can't get away from it today, because less than 24 hours ago, one of our, I guess we would say at this point, former Common Pleas judges here in Marion, Judge Jason Warner, was found guilty of complicity to leaving the scene of an accident and complicity to tampering with evidence. Both of those are felonies because he was convicted of those, and they are felonies. He can no longer serve as a Marion County judge. And like I say, this is the talk everywhere this morning. A lot of questions. The judge had not resigned, and we are getting community reaction this morning. And we're very happy to spend 15 minutes with the sheriff here in Marion County, Matt Bales. Matt, how are you?
Good, Scott. How are you doing today?
Good to talk with you. How's everything been in your life, first and foremost?
It's been very busy since the first of the year. we've been hard at work, and I think that we've got things going in the right direction here, and I'm very happy about that.
I'm glad to hear that, Sheriff. Yesterday, couldn't get away from it. Once the verdict came down in the Jason Warner case, it had been something we were dealing with here in Marion for nearly a year. What was your reaction when you heard the verdict?
Based on what I heard about the trial, I wasn't surprised by the verdict. And honestly, I'm glad that everything is over at this point, except for the sentencing, of course. I think it's time for our community to heal from this. It's time for the victim to be able to get past this, Colton Gray, to get past this, and we can get a new judge in there and get back to normal in the court system also.
Sheriff, as the trial had been going on this week, it started on Monday, you know, not many people were permitted in because of the pandemic. What had you been hearing as the week had been going on?
I just been hearing basically what was being reported in the paper about what the testimony was. I didn't go up there myself. I know the courtroom that they had they used for the trial was quite small. And I just was relying on other people that were there and also the newspapers to keep me updated on what the testimony was.
When you started to realize what the testimony was as the trial was progressing, were you surprised that the judge had not resigned? Because that had been a big question this entire time. Why hadn't he resigned? There must be something we don't know. And then the testimony started to come out, and obviously it went the other direction.
Yeah, I think that he should have. I think that would have been the first step in the healing process, is to get a new permanent judge in there and get things rolling again. And I think he at this point, hearing all the evidence and everything, I think he should have done so several months ago.
I want to talk about a few things here that people were talking about on social media yesterday, and I know we don't know the definitive answers for these, but he was continued to be paid, I believe, up until yesterday, I think would be the last day he was not paid. I don't know that for sure, but we know he was continuing to be paid because he had not resigned. What's your reaction, just as a citizen, to that? That makes a lot of people angry.
To be honest with you, it kind of makes me angry, too. I mean, that's a lot of, because we're basically paying two judges to do one job at that point, because we had Judge Finnegan in there as the temporary judge, and there from what I understand, there really wasn't a lot of testimony disputing what happened, the facts of the case. So yeah, it does make me angry.
Do you think there should be some restitution in this now that we know the verdict?
That's not my call to make. I know that there are some pretty heavy fines that can be levied after being convicted of these crimes, and that's up to the judge that heard the case to decide on. Like I said, that's not my call to make.
Well, another thing here that people were talking about yesterday, and again, this is just an opinion, your thoughts on it as a Marion County citizen. There was this period after the crash, but before the judge resigned, where he was, took a leave of absence, he didn't resign, where cases were still going on, and he was still hearing cases. What do you think should happen with those cases?
Well, they could be reviewed by the appeals court, I guess. If there's a glaring error that the defense attorneys want to bring up or in that area, they could take them to an appeals court, I suppose. It's kind of a difficult question to answer, to be honest with you.
It's a tough situation.
Yeah. Does the fact that he was involved with this discount his time as judge at that time? I don't know. That would be heavy, I guess, to the defense attorneys for the people that were involved in the cases to decide if they want to go forward with something towards the appeals court, or contact Greg Rogan and talk with him about it.
You know, Ray is actually coming on in about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be able to ask him some of these questions. This is not completely done yet, because on April 15th there will be a sentencing in this trial. And you know, people are already saying, and again, these are citizens. This is not anybody in the community, but it's, you know, all because he's a judge and a first offender, it's just going to be probation and that sort of thing. And none of us know what the sentencing will be at this point. But in a case like this, you've dealt with cases. What would you suspect will happen on April 15th? First-time offender, what do you think?
I'd hate to make any kind of guesses, Scott. It's up to the judge to determine what's an appropriate sentence on something like that. You know, just thinking about the entire ordeal, and when I look at things like this, I look at it kind of like from a victim's perspective. What did that kid go through that night? He was involved in a terrible crash. He's trapped in the vehicle. So, you know, you have the crash first, so he's got to be in a little bit of a state of shock after the crash. People are outside the vehicle, probably hears them talking. He's thinking that, you know, help is here, and then he hears a car drive away. That had to be a terrifying experience for him, and it's, you know, my heart goes out to him on that, because then he had to wait until the actual first responders got there. I think that has to be taken into account by the judge. But like I said, it's not my place to pass sentence or anything. That's up to the judge. And kudos to her for doing a fine job on this. I think that a just verdict was met in this case.
When you have dealt with things in the past, how often does something like this happen? I mean, is this a common occurrence that there's an accident where somebody is injured and somebody leaves?
It does happen. It's not that uncommon. It depends on the circumstances of each case, why they left. I mean, there's people that leave because they haven't got a driver's license, or they've been drinking, or they're under the influence of drugs, or they're on probation or parole and they don't want to get in trouble. That stuff does happen. I'm not saying it's an everyday thing, but it does happen from time to time.
This obviously was, it's in the dispatch today, I believe. It was on Columbus Media. The trial itself was covered by Columbus Media pretty much, other than mm-hmm. local media here. What do you think this has said about Marion? What has this put out to the rest of the state that sees these broadcasts out of Columbus and newspapers?
I hope it puts out that the citizens of Marion were outraged about what happened. I hope this puts out that the citizens here and the community care about what happens to the people here in the community. You know, Colton Gray injured in this car wreck, and people were outraged about to put it bluntly, the callous manner of how he was left there. And I hope people outside of Marion see how the community kind of wrapped themselves around Colton and we're calling for action to be done. That's what I would say.
Well, you know, Sheriff, the reason there's a great irony in this, and I think why it hits people so personally and why it has been such a case, is this was a sitting judge at the time that this happened. This is a judge who has handed down sentences, some very, mm-hmm. very rough sentences on people.
Mm-hmm.
And when an accident happened, as the Attorney General said in the press release yesterday, the cover-up was much worse than the crime.
Exactly.
Why does that happen? We hear that all the time. I think the Attorney General yesterday called it a cliche even. He used the word cliche. Why? Why does that happen?
I don't know. I wish I could go back and tell you why they did that. I've been trying to wrap my mind around it ever since it happened, ever since I heard what happened. And the Attorney General is 100% correct. I mean, the aftermath of the crash is 200 times worse than what would have happened if they had stayed there at the scene. You know, number one, they could have called 911 and brought help to Colton right there at the scene a lot quicker than it actually got there. If there was a DUI involved, which I can't say if there was or not because there was no blood alcohol test. Okay, so you got a DUI. Let's move forward from here. But for crying out loud, save that kid. I just don't know what was going through their minds that night. It just doesn't make any sense. And you know, I've known Judge Warner for quite some time, and to say that I'm surprised by this would be an understatement. It's I mean, he worked with kids at Pleasant. He coached out at Pleasant for several years football. His wife is a teacher. For this to happen, it outright shocked me.
We have about 2 minutes left here, Sheriff, and I really do appreciate your time and candor on this. Mm-hmm. And as you said, you have known Judge Warner, and maybe this is the only thing we can say definitively this morning, or you can say definitively, knowing this man and every good quality you just said that he had and his wife had, now knowing what happened through trial, knowing what happened last May, what do you think of this man you know today?
The man the things that happened that night is not indicative of the man that I've known. Like I said, I'm to this day I'm shocked about what happened. That pretty much sums it up. I'm shocked by the behavior from that night. It just seems so out of character from the person that I've known for several years.
Does it change your personal opinion of him?
Yeah, I'd have to say it does somewhat. And the Bible teaches us to forgive, and you know, this wasn't something that directly happened to me, but it kind of impacted me because of the fact that I've known him and for the past several years, and it just. Yeah, I mean, a short answer, it does impact the way I feel about him at this point.
Sheriff, but I appreciate the time. Before we let you go, how do you sum this all up in one word? And I know that's very difficult. This whole matter, this whole thing, how do you sum it up?
Tragedy.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy for Colton to be going through this. I'm sure he still has repercussions to this day. It's a tragedy for the Warner family. It's... they've been members of the community for years, and he was a judge, and it's a tragedy for his family also but I mean there were actions that did this.
Sheriff Matt Bales, I appreciate your time this morning. I appreciate your candor and honesty, and I it's a tough morning for a lot of people in Marion County for a whole lot of reasons. Thank you, Sheriff.
You're welcome.
Bye bye.
Sheriff Matt Bales, thoughts on the Judge Warner case, which came to an end yesterday. A verdict was rendered, and the verdict was a guilty verdict. And we will continue on here this morning, getting community reaction to the Judge Warner case yesterday. We thank Sheriff Matt Bales for being on at 8:30 this morning. And remember, we just want to keep our facts straight here. On Wednesday, Judge Warner was found guilty of complicity to leaving the scene of an accident and complicity to tampering with evidence. Both are felonies. The judge had not resigned up until the verdicts came in yesterday. And he obviously cannot be a judge at this point because of the felonies. The arraignment or the sentencing, will take place on April 15th. Joining us this morning, and again, we thank this person to come on for community reaction, Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. Ray, how are you?
Doing well, Scott. Thanks so much for inviting me on. How are you this morning?
Doing okay. It's interesting to hear the reaction. This became a very big thing in Marion for nearly a year now.
Yeah, it's been a while. We received a phone call the morning of the incident from the post commander at the Ohio State Highway Patrol post, and it was almost immediately after that we received that phone call that we made the determination that just to avoid even the appearance of an impropriety, that we would ask the Attorney General's office to assist us with the case, and they've done that, and the Bureau of Criminal Investigation from the Ohio Attorney General's office also helped, and I really appreciate their work on this. As I said, it became very clear very early on that to avoid even the appearance of an impropriety or a conflict, my office wouldn't be able to handle it. So the work that the Attorney General's office has done is fantastic.
You know, Ray, I'm so glad you cleared that up after all this time, because there was this confusion, because the accident,
sure,
I believe, happened in May. And really...
I think June. I think
June, was
June.
It June? Early June?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then, but we didn't hear anything about it until Columbus Media broke this story, which I think was nearly a month later.
Yeah, so several weeks had gone by, as I recall it. Like you said, it's been a little while now. You know, and the, but that's, you know, ultimately when, as I said, when we first got it, you know, my team and I huddled up, and ultimately, it came to the conclusion very early on, like, I mean, that day, that ultimately this was going to have to be handled by another agency. You know, my office represents all the elected officials in the county, and we do a great deal of our work, obviously, in front of the judges of the Common Police Court. And so we made the decision very early on to ask the Attorney General's office, and Dave Yost and his team were kind enough to come up and do it. And so whenever you ask for a special prosecutor, there's several different outlets. We can ask another county prosecutor to come up and do that. So there's been an occasion where we've had Doug Rowland, for example, from Wyandotte County, come down, or Melissa Schiffel in Delaware County, or one of her assistants to come up, and we've done the same for other prosecutors' offices, you know, around primarily around Central Ohio. But we made the decision to call the Attorney General's office, and like I said, they were quick to help, and really just did a fantastic job.
Just some basic questions here, Ray, for the next 10
sure.
minutes. What was your reaction yesterday when you heard the verdict?
You know, I was listening to the sheriff before he came on, and my reaction was, I suppose, a little bit of relief that, okay, this is over. Everybody's entitled to their day in court, and Jason and Julie Warner are no exception to that. They were entitled to their day in court, and they had it. And the judge made a decision, you know, my reaction is that it sounds to me, based on the little bit that I know, again, I don't know much about it because my office didn't handle the case, but from what I've seen and what, you know, from what I've read and gathered, it sounds to me like it was absolutely the right decision.
Now, one thing people are very angry about, and I believe there was even a peaceful protest about this last year, the judge did not resign, and he continued to be paid, we believe, up until yesterday, as far as we know. We don't know for sure, but what's your read on that? That made people very angry.
Sure, and I think justifiably so. You know, if I think the thought being that, you know, everybody else has to go to work and everybody else has to put in work and then they collect a paycheck. So the idea that somebody's collecting a paycheck, a taxpayer-funded paycheck, and not going into work and not doing the things on a day-to-day basis that are required for that work and still getting paid, I think people are absolutely justified in being disgusted by that, quite frankly. If I'm being blunt, I think they're completely justified in being upset by that.
Is there any way to recover some of that money?
To my knowledge, I don't believe so. I am unaware of any mechanism that would allow for the recovery of any paid salary. because again, he was you know, removed by the Supreme Court and not able to hear cases, but he was not removed from his office. And so he will be now by virtue of the felony conviction and such. But But again, I am not aware of anything that would prohibit, that would allow for the recovery of that money.
Ray, and you might know this better than anybody this morning. This time period, was there this period from the time of the accident before the judge took a leave of absence where he was still presiding over cases? Did that happen?
Yes.
Yeah. What happens with those verdicts?
I don't think anything. I think ultimately he had not been. We're talking about a time period where the investigation was ongoing. There had not been an indictment handed down yet, and so as a result of that, there's nothing legally that would have prevented him from presiding over those cases. There's nothing that would have prevented him or divested him of his authority to hear those cases. And so as a result of that, the decisions that he made during that time period, I do not anticipate there being any problem with that.
We know that April 15th will be the sentencing for both Judge Warner and his wife. Mm-hmm. Do you have a feeling, the judge will do what she's going to do.
Of course.
What do you have a feeling in this case, knowing what we know now, where that's going to go?
I don't. I did not watch any of the proceedings. It wasn't my case. It was the Attorney General's case, and so I kept my nose out of it, so to speak. Here's what I will say. Now that he's had his day in court and his wife has had her day in court, what we know is that they left a 19-year-old unconscious, I'm going to say boy, he's a young man, but they left that kid in that car unconscious in the middle of the night on a dark country road, and they took off. And that's remarkably serious. They didn't, from what I have gathered, they didn't call for help. They went home and to the safety and comfort of their home while that young man lay there. And so, and thank God for the passersby who were able to assist him and then help him. I can't envision this type of criminal activity I can't envision it being more serious than that. It's remarkably serious.
Ray, one of the things going around yesterday, and I'm sure you heard it as well, that because he was a judge, because it's a first-time offense, that he will get probation. And again, we don't know these things. But
right,
for everything you just said, the seriousness of this crime, should he have to go to prison? I mean, is this something that could happen, should happen? Just an opinion, not a...
Sure, and I understand. And again, with the understanding and the caveat that it's not my case, and I won't be making any pitches to Judge Cosgrove, the Attorney General's office will be doing all of that. But here's what I will say about that. We hold our elected officials to a higher standard, and we ought to hold our elected officials to a higher standard. He knew better. And so... I think the fact that he was a judge actually makes this even more egregious. So whether he should or shouldn't, I'll defer to the Attorney General's office with respect to what arguments they want to make to Judge Cosgrove, and then ultimately it will be her decision, as we all know. But I will say, whether you're a judge, a prosecutor, dare I even say a police officer, we ought to be held to a higher standard. We ought to be held to a standard that recognizes that we know better, and we are entrusted with exactly that, with the public trust, to carry out our duties. And so we ought to pay the price for that when we make bad decisions. And I heard you talk earlier about this was a mistake, and it is. And again, it's a tragedy for everybody involved. It's a tragedy for the Warners. It's a tragedy for Colton Gray, certainly. As I understand it, he's still dealing with some of the effects of what happened that night. the issue is that, though, that there's a difference between making a mistake and making a bad decision. And what they did that night was a remarkably bad decision. And ultimately, they're going to have to suffer the consequences, as Judge Cosgrove hands down. And that's our system.
You know, Ray, maybe this is the toughest question, and I think it was for the sheriff. I don't want to speak on his behalf, but people heard the interview moments ago. You know Judge Warner. You've worked with Judge Warner. You know the man, Jason Warner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The man you knew prior to this and the man you know today, how do those opinions, just personally, do they conflict in your mind? Has your opinion of the man changed? What's lay it out for us.
You know, I do know him, and I worked with him for a long time, we're both Republicans, and we ran in the same year and got to know each other from that. You know, it breaks my heart that we're in this position. But then I'm reminded that we're in this position because of the decisions that the two of them made that night. To answer your question more completely, yeah, I'm shocked. I was shocked, and I think I still am, because that decision making process was not one that I thought they would ever make, and it really surprising doesn't cut it. I was shocked to learn that they had made those series of decisions. It is I cannot reconcile the decision process that they made with the individual that I know and the individual that I practice in front of for a time.
Two quick questions, Ray, and again, I appreciate the time. You know, there has been yourself and judges here in Marion County an idea since elections a few years ago that stronger sentences should be handed out for people, that people maybe were getting off a little easier than they should, and maybe that's one of the great ironies of this, is that one of the judges who was handing down those stronger sentences, who was mentioned in a lot of those press releases, now faces this. Is there an irony in that to you?
Oh, without question. Absolutely. And, you know, which is what makes the story all the more interesting, right? I mean, we're talking about a judge who was known for, as you just said, handing out stiff sentences, for being and taking on a no-nonsense approach, if you will, and quite frankly, attributes that I respected and admired. And so, you know, as Dave Yost, the Attorney General, said yesterday, you know, it's a bit cliche. You know, I think all of there's so much irony and cliche throughout this entire story, right? That we have a tough judge who was not afraid to have people pay for their crimes, and now finds himself on the other side of the bench, so to speak. It's incredibly ironic.
Ray, final question, same question I asked the sheriff. If you, and it's hard, just as Ray Grogan, the citizen, if you have to sum this whole thing up in one word, what is it?
One word. You know, I'm a lawyer, right, and a politician. That's going to be tough. I think what this demonstrates is that what drew me to the law, what drew me to being a prosecutor, as somebody, you know, I grew up in a with a single mother in a two bedroom apartment. The law was an arena where it didn't matter that I grew up with a single mother in a two-bedroom apartment. Everybody was equal. And this case demonstrates that completely. You know, 19-year-old Colton Gray is entitled to, as a victim of a crime, the same as anybody else, as are the Warners. And the system works the same, regardless of whether you are a judge or somebody else. And that's what I love about it, is that nobody is above or below the law. We are all equal. You know, Lady Justice is standing there with, we've all seen the statue with the scales of justice, and she's wearing a blindfold because it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. Nobody is above or below the law, and I think we saw that play out this week in here in Marion County.
With about 15 seconds to go here, Ray, just one question. When that decision was made that night to not call 911, and we do know that did happen that night, that decision, yes. How do you define that decision? That was the decision that really got the ball rolling, in, as the Attorney General says, in a cliche way, the cover-up is worse than the crime.
That's right. I view that decision as selfish. Incredibly, incredibly selfish.
Ray, I really can't thank you enough for coming on this morning. I know it's a tough morning for a lot of people here in Marion County. It's been a tough year with this case, and I appreciate your candor more than you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. You have a great day. Thanks again for the invite. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan, we're going to break. Back with more.
One. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts... You can't wing it.
Guys up here.
In a home, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out.